In any history of bel canto singing in the 20th century, there's one performance that has to be mentioned. The date was January 17, 1959, at Covent Garden in London, and the opera was Lucia di Lammermoor. Singing the title role was a young Australian who was the great hope of the company. After nearly 8 years of being assigned every kind of role, she'd finally found the one that would establish her as one of the greatest singers of her time, or indeed of any time. Her name was Joan Sutherland. Her sound was huge, with a spectacular range and an agility associated with much lighter voices. She belonged to that rarest of all vocal categories, the dramatic coloratura soprano. But she was always amazingly clear-headed about her talent. She once commented that she wouldn't have taken the prize money she earned from competitions in Australia and traveled to London as an opera hopeful if she hadn't wanted to become something a little above average. There you have one of the most astounding understatements ever uttered by anyone. But it was typical Sutherland. She was humility personified. She considered herself an ordinary woman who'd been given a special gift. Throughout more than three decades of stardom, she shared it generously with a worldwide audience. She grew up in Sydney. She sang, beginning in childhood, with her mother, who owned a fabulous mezzo-soprano voice herself. Young Joan was always singing, but when she got older, she needed to help her family. So in her late teens and early 20s, she worked as a secretary. She didn't study singing formally until age 18, but she soon was being heard in concerts all over Australia. She also won her homeland's most important vocal competitions, the Sun Aria and the Mobile Quest. Here she is as a contestant at 22, already perfectly able to handle Aida's Act One aria, which she sings in English. It was Sutherland's dream to move to London. Once she and her mother had settled there, she studied at the Royal College of Music. After several auditions, she was hired for Covent Garden's resident ensemble. She made a quiet debut in 1952 as the First Lady in the Magic Flute. The problem was that the house didn't know how to view Sutherland's voice, since she was apparently capable of singing anything. They figured she'd probably be a Wagnerian eventually. She thought so too, but she sang whatever was needed. Dramatic repertoire such as Aida and Un ballo in maschera, small roles including Clotilde in Norma, in which she was mesmerized by the voice of Maria Callas, some important lyric soprano roles including Agatha in Der Freischütz, Michaela in Carmen, Eva in Die Meistersinger. She was also assigned a world premiere, Michael Tippett's The Midsummer Marriage in 1955. She sang the leading role of Jennifer. The opera got a variable reception, but Sutherland sang sensationally. The singer Sutherland eventually became had most to do with her fellow Australian, Richard Bonning. He coached her, married her in 1954, and within a decade was conducting most of her performances. He convinced her that her future didn't lie in Wagner. When she was singing away while doing her household chores, he heard incredible flexibility and a gleaming, effortless upper range that she used nonchalantly without even thinking about it. He tricked her by making her stand away from the piano so she didn't know what notes he was playing. And one day, she kept singing all the way to F sharp above high C. Bonning made her realize that this voice was meant for roles needing true virtuosity, the heroines of Handel and the bel canto composers, Rossini, Donizetti, and Bellini. In 1958 at Covent Garden came a turning point when those who ran the company realized that they had to find a worthy starring vehicle for Sutherland. Handel's Samson was being produced at the time, and Sutherland was cast in it, but in a cameo role, the Israelite woman. She gets one aria, the exhilarating Let the Bright Seraphim. Sutherland stopped the show at every performance. By this time, Sutherland had developed by leaps and bounds as an actress. Her vocal technique was absolutely complete, her voice was more beautiful than ever. So recognizing all that, Covent Garden made the ideal choice for her. A new production of Lucia, directed by a young genius named Franco Zeffirelli and conducted by a legendary bel canto interpreter, Tullio Serafin. At the premiere, emotions ran sky high. In the last act, Zeffirelli had staged the mad scene with Sutherland darting frantically around the stage. She gave a harrowing portrayal of a girl with a mind totally unhinged. But then she stopped cold in the cadenza with the flute. She heard that sound in her head, and she echoed it. What I'm playing here isn't a studio performance. It's Sutherland live on stage at Covent Garden in 1959. The reaction to her performance was explosive. From that Lucia came international stardom. It was proclaimed in a big way with a magnificent two-disc album of supremely challenging arias called The Art of the Prima Donna. Sutherland didn't just show her prowess in rapid-fire coloratura passages. She was also able to take an incredibly exposed piece like Casta Diva from Norma, which requires the purest possible tone, the cleanest line, and sing it not just beautifully, but serenely. After singing Alcina in Venice, the world knew her forever thereafter as La Stupenda. She arrived at Lyric Opera in 1961 in Lucia, an opera that she would sing here again a decade later. Lucia also introduced her to the Met, the Paris Opera, and just about every other major house. Unfamiliar operas were continually resurrected for her. One of them, Rossini Semiramide, was a triumph at Lyric. Sutherland was this company's one and only daughter of the regiment, and in 1985, she made her last appearance with us in Lyric's first Anna Bolena. Queen Elizabeth awarded Sutherland a knighthood in 1979. After a phenomenal career, she retired from the stage in 1990. She gave master classes, judged competitions, was honored over and over again, but mainly she enjoyed a quiet life. She died at her home in Switzerland on October 10, 2010, at the age of 83. I doubt if we'll ever hear another voice like Dame Joan Sutherland's. She was one of the true miracles of singing.